Welcome to an abbreviated After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. Watch out for the snow and rain that's coming. We will be on for 45 minutes, and the first half hour of that is devoted to my great friend and a person. I admire a lot of people in the music business, firstly, because I don't know how to play any instrument or sing, but I admire no one more than Corky Siegel, who I've been watching for much more than half my life. Corky, how are you?
Hey, Rick, so good to talk to you.
It is so good to talk.
You're here to talk to us.
I'm glad I'm here too, Corky. Listen, before we get into this incredible Corky Siegel Chamber Blues Extravaganza that's coming up March 6th, I want to go back a little. First, I want to know, how are you feeling physically and emotionally?
Terrific on all counts. I had my second vaccination.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, no side effects on any of them, nothing. I don't even have a sore arm.
That's great. And Holly as well, too?
Yeah, she had her first.
So you're like the pro in the house. You're the expert in the house.
We got a couple more weeks and we'll totally be the expert.
I know. I can't wait. And the world will be a different place, because the world has been a different place for this entire last year. That remind me, Corky, you know, you have come up with something that is innovative and novel with this Chamber Blues, Corky Siegel Chamber Blues Extravaganza. But before we talk about that, remind me, you used to tell some remarkable stories about you as a very, very young man traveling down to the South Side and going into clubs and being welcomed in clubs. That experience has informed your entire career as a musician, has it not?
Yes, it is. My partner Jim Schwall and I mean, even before I met Jim Schwall, even before 1965, my friends and I would cross the tracks, and hang out, and, you know, sometimes play music. I played saxophone back then. But when Jim and I got together and decided we wanted to play, we just went across the tracks and went into the South Side of Chicago looking for just bars, you know, to play in. And we walked into this one place, and we didn't know, but it was the blues club.
Yeah.
It was the iconic blues club, Pepper Show Lounge. And we just went in to play, and the guy hired us to play every Thursday night from 9 at night till 4 in the morning. And the people we idolized, all of a sudden started showing up to sit in with us. Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, Little Walter, Willie Dixon, James Cotton, Hound Dog Taylor, just on and on and on, all the great blues masters. And we're just learning to play. We're loving and excited about the blues, and they're taking us under their wing.
It was like some kind of, in its way,
my short version of the excursion into the world of blues.
But also in its way, Corky, it was like going to graduate school in blues. You were learning from the virtual inventors of the sound
of the Chicago blues.
Yeah,
that's right. We were there in the middle of the whole thing. It's amazing. I found myself in my musical life to be an innocent victim of incredible good fortune, of being in the middle of the blues scene, and then the whole thing with, getting into the classical world and being in the middle of that, and then being managed by the people who started the whole San Francisco scene, and hanging out with Janis and all those people, and, you know, being in the middle of that, because we were managed by Chet Helms, who owned the Avalon Ballroom.
Right.
So there's just one thing after another, you know, producing Joni Mitchell's last demo tape before she got her record deal, working on Hair with Radio and Ragney before it was Hair. You know, I just told you my whole innocent victim story.
Well, and also it's an innocent beneficiary story too. There's no question about it. And you were like, at the time, Corky, you must have been like a human sponge. Were you not just absorbing? It must have been at some point sort of almost overwhelming.
A naive, unconscious human sponge. I didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah.
Looking back, I go, oh my God.
Sure. But it also enabled you, I think, to when you decided to create Chamber Blues, which was a mingling of blues and classical music, it wasn't so much for you, I don't think, some kind of, wow, this might really be able to work commercially. This was something deep, deep within you that you thought would manifest in amazing sounds.
Well, it was given to me by the Blues Masters. Mm-hmm. And that was 1965 when I started with the Blues Masters. Wow. And then 66 is when this guy comes into Big John's where Siegel Schwall was playing. He comes in night after night, and one night he comes up to me and says, I'd like your band to jam with my band. And I'm thinking, who is this guy and who's his band? It turns out it was Seiji Ozawa, and his band was the Chicago Symphony. And so just like the Blues Masters, he took me under his wing, and that became my whole world of bringing blues to classical music. Chamber Blues really came out of that. And so I tell people Chamber Blues was neither my idea nor my fault. But I did it because I had to do it.
Yeah,
there was no reason to do it other than I had to, and it seemed like a great idea. But all along, I knew no one was going to like it. The critics were going to hate it.
Sure.
But I'm going to do it anyway. And it turned out, it ended up being, everyone loved it, and the critics loved it. So
that is a short version. That is a short version, ladies and gentlemen, of the remarkable career of my friend. When I put up on Facebook or wherever you put these things that you were going to be on, people went nuts. They just you have such a fan base here. After we take a short commercial break, we're going to tell you about this. You know, we've all been locked down, and what has it been like for a performer like Corky who seems to feed so much off the energy of a crowd to try to create something new, because everything has been canceled. We will pursue that topic with Corky Siegel right after a couple commercials. As innovative and groundbreaking as the melding of blues and classical music, I think what Corky Siegel is doing on March 6th takes this forward another step. I suppose, Corky, that the Chamber Blues Extravaganza is a sort of reaction to not being able to gather with audiences and with other musicians. And I think this, we'll get into the details, this is a really innovative thing. Is that the reason? I mean, you must have sat around, I know you play every day, and sat around in Holly, your wife, is a great audience, but you must have missed like crazy the interaction with audiences, yes?
No.
I always hated those people, yeah. You always seemed like it when you were on stage.
No, actually, it's interesting. A friend of mine, Randy Sabina, called me one time, Corky, how do you do this? How do you play just to a microphone? There's no one out there. I said, when I play on stage, there's no one out there, Randy.
Yeah, yeah.
I get so lost in what I'm doing, and that's desirable for me. That's my job, to get lost in what I'm doing. And then, you know, between the songs, I see the audience, and I love the audience. But, you know, when I'm playing music, I'm going inside. And so this isn't so different. What was different is, of course, you know, being in the house. I just finished like about 12 shows, 18 shows in a row with Ernie Watts, who you interviewed.
Oh, yeah, you guys on the show that time was one of the highlights of my so-called radio career.
So we did some Chamber Blues concerts with Ernie, and then we went to the Virgin Islands with Chamber Blues and Ernie, and then Ernie and I did a couple things in the Virgin Islands, and then on March 13th, we played our last gig at Cocoa Beach, Florida. We came here, and I'm a very analytical guy, and
sure,
I think about the psychology and all these kinds of things. And I was thinking, you know, people really need companionship and intimacy. So we started doing these live streams. The day Ernie was leaving here on March 18th, twice a week, and they're free, and we don't ask for any donations. And it's twice a week, and we're on number 99.
Wow.
On Tuesday is number 99. So it was in that concept where I realized Mother Nature has sent us to our rooms. That's what Holly said.
That's well put.
In this damn pandic, as we're calling it, damn pandic. And we are artists. And when I got a call from a presenter They wanted us to plan for a live show.
Mm-hmm.
I says, you know, why are we trying to twist ourselves into pretzels, trying to create something that's only going to be a shadow of the past?
Yep.
And is not going to be 100% safe. We don't want to inspire people to come out when it isn't 100% safe.
Exactly.
So let's put all our energy and all our creativity and all our focus. And what can we do in this psychology where companionship is needed and intimacy is needed to work with this medium we have, a video, and think of it in a different way and approach it in a different way? And that was the inspiration for starting to put together Extravaganza.
Well, it seems that there is an inherent intimacy given with the technology, given that not only will people be hearing you play, but you can take a camera in a way, sort of looking over your shoulder at you playing, that I think redefines the notion of intimacy given these strange, less than intimate times in which we're living. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And what people forget is that the advantages of this format are absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
For music performance, for business meetings, mind-blowing. But people tend, you know, we get in a Zoom meeting.
Right.
And we get to see everyone's face all at once.
Yeah.
We don't have to get in an airplane to get to a meeting. We don't have to, you know, we have all these advantages, and yet there's always someone that's going to say, oh, I wish we could be together. But no, let's take what we have and make it great. And I listed 30 advantages to Zoom over a in-person meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That are mind-boggling, and the same thing crosses over and applies to music performance.
Sure.
You know, you get to see everyone's, you know, if you do a split screen with the whole group, you get to see everyone's expressions.
Yeah.
You don't only get a front row seat, you get a seat with the group stage.
With the group and with each individual performer, too. I just think
And in their homes.
Yes.
Each of our homes. As I described, there is no audience anymore. It's one-on-one. Maybe there's 1,000 people.
Yep.
But it's one. I'm inviting you or whoever you're with into my home, and you're welcoming me into your home. And those videos were created with that constant understanding that this is what's going on, and that people, and that we all want a big hug, and that this is it. Some people call some of my live streams Mr. Rogers for adults.
That's not ill put.
And of course, then we have these amazing guest artists.
Yeah. Well, how did you pick? I will tell you that picking Ernie Watts is one of the great no-brainers of all time. But you also have some amazing Lynn Jordan and Frank Earl, and they're going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. A total of 8 of you. You have a cantor who is part of this thing. You wanted to give a sort of broad sense of what you are all able to do musically. True?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the group itself, the ensemble, which is made up of 5 people and me, so that's 6 people. And then we have 7 guest artists, so
right.
7, so 13. So the group itself is very, very diverse. You know, it's a string quartet, and, you know, Jaime is from Madrid, and Chishuan is from Taiwan, and then we have Rose and Joycelyn, and then Kalyan is from India. He's a tabla player. And so we started out there, and then, that's chamber blues, and it's chamber music, but it's a juxtaposition of blues and classical. But then we wanted to bring in other genres. And the way this happened, Rick, is that, you know, I met, for instance, Ernie in India on a tour with Dr. L. Subramaniam and Kavita Krishnamurti, the great Indian music stars. And I met him there, and we sort of hit it off. And so I wrote some arrangements for him, and we did some chamber blues concerts. Then the same thing with Tracy Nelson from Nashville, and then with Taranzo Cannon from, you know, the Alligator Records blues star, and Marcella Detroit. I've done many concerts with her, so I've written all this material and Frank Orrell from Poi Duck Pondering. And so I've written all this really unique concerto, sonata-type material for these artists to bring their realm into the chamber blues realm.
Ugh.
And when this thing happened, I said, you know what, I want to pick one piece from each of those concerts, of my favorite piece from each of those artists, and put them together in a presentation.
Wow.
Because this is something we can't do live.
Yes.
Can't get all seven artists to come in.
Yo, that's you know, the other thing about what the other thing about what you're doing. It so expands the possibilities of what is possible. This is a live stream. It's sort of under the umbrella of City Winery. It's going to take place March 6th at 7 o'clock Central Time. It is sort of free, but they're asking for a $30 donation.
Yeah, actually, I'm asking.
You are. Well, and you
and
get
all
it.
My artists
yeah.
are asking for a donation, and we split it,
yes.
you know, with you,
just because it's
City
live
Winery.
Stream doesn't mean it should be free. You have got to be, Corky Siegel, tremendously... Have you done, is it possible to do any kind of rehearsal before this?
No.
No, good. I think
rehearsal isn't even necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
The amazing thing is that this format is just, it's brilliant. One of the members of my group, and none of them were looking forward to this. But by the time we finished it, they were having a ball. And Joycelyn, in fact, our cellist, she said, "This is so much fun. When can we do this again?"
Do it again.
And we felt like we were working closer together than we ever have, because each individual has to take like such a major part in the production on their own.
Yeah.
And then they send all the content to me, and Polly and I put it together. It's just an incredible experience.
It sounds like another groundbreaking thing, and I think it hints of, I think in many ways, one of the future elements of live performance. Live stream is live, as far as I'm concerned. The future of
that, it is an amazing experience. You know, sometimes we've been recording our live streams now.
Yeah.
So I would say to people, well, for you and I, it's 11:30 a.m. on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's 3 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah, take you back to the blues clubs on the South Side. Corky, it is wonderful to talk to you and wonderful to hear you in such good spirits and wonderful to hear you and Holly and everybody else moving so innovatively forward. Ladies and gentlemen, go to chamberblues.com. You'll get a ton of information about this event, and you'll get a ton of information about Corky. I can't tell you how deep runs my affection for you two.
And it's so good to hear you, Rick.
You,
you
too.
No
it's
idea.
Really. Yeah, it's nice to hear people's voices. Corky, you're the greatest. When everything's opened up, we'll do this live and in person.
All right. Beautiful. Thanks so
Take
much.
Take care Rick. Of yourself. Give Holly a hug.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.